Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in and tuning up. This is Scott Jensen with my Ancient Wisdom Modern Health Podcast. Here, I share and explain how to get and stay healthy with Tai Chi, Qigong, and Kung Fu, mixing interviews with incredible people and my own insights and experiences. We look for timeless wisdom and proven practices to be healthy and happy today. As part of my bachelor's degree, I got a minor in history. And when you study history, in your final year you take a class in historiography. All the prior classes were about different periods of history and what happened in the history of the world. Historiography is about the study of history as a historian, and how is the study of history conducted. And a big part of that is the search for original sources, going back to the eyewitness, to the handwritten account, to the original place, the original time, as close to you that as you could get it, to find the original source. And in the case of oral traditions and cultural transmissions, often this means finding the elders and learning from the elders and talking to the elders who really did connect to their traditions and really represent them. Zhang Huasen, Bagua Zhang master from Beijing, was one of those original sources. In today's podcast, I'm going to talk about Zhang Huasen's life and personality. But before I do, I would like to tell you a little bit more about what I have planned in our new forum. We have created a new forum called 10,000victoriest.house. So there's no .com, net, or org at the end. It's .house. At this time, this forum is only for our currently enrolled students. If you'd like to join their ranks online or return to studying with me or become a new student, I would be happy to welcome you and to provide you the opportunity via our online forum. So in the forum, I'm hoping that people will be able to post their videos. We'll continue to post our instructional videos, that we can encourage one another without all the distractions of social media and other locations, and without all of the strange stuff that goes on in those places as well. Having received a lot of support from our current students, even though we are forbidden by the county and state to offer any classes, we're very deeply grateful for each and every single one of our students. I'm going to do my best to return this generosity by being generous myself and showing my gratitude by sharing one of the, I would say, real treasures that I was able to learn, that I was fortunate enough to have an opportunity to learn, and that's the Bagua Zhang of the Liang Zhenpu style that I learned from Zhang Huasen. The reason that I'm choosing to share Bagua Zhang at this time is because it doesn't take that much space to practice compared to many of our other styles, and some of you are really restricted right now in terms of how much room you have available to practice. So Bagua Zhang is ideal in this sense because instead of going in long straight lines or working across the floor one way or the other, we pretty much either stand in one place or walk around in circles, and although there are some lines, you can do them pretty short if you need to. When I first started to study Bagua Zhang, I was really interested in Bagua Zhang's combat techniques, and they appear to have a very unique methodology and strategy, as different from other styles as all the other styles are, and it's quite unique in that regard. However, what I also discovered was that Bagua Zhang has its own unique therapeutic capacity as well. And I think that the health benefits of Bagua Zhang are different from those that you get in Tai Chi or Xingyi or Northern Shaolin. Very complementary and overlapping, but they are different. I think that I have personally benefited from Bagua Zhang in a number of different ways that I will be sure to share at some point. However, in this quarantine time, right now, Bagwatsong may be something really fun and new to learn. So we'll be posting classes, and we've already shot some very beautiful footage for this, on our new forum at 10,000victoriest.house. This is a private forum. Only our members will be allowed on, and only our members will be able to view the content. And if you would like to apply, let me know. My Bagwatsong teacher, Zhang Wasen, had one of those lives that truly would make an exciting movie. When he was born before World War II in China, it was a very, very rough period of time. There was enormous social upheaval. The central government was no longer really able to control the country in any kind of efficient way. A lot of the country was breaking down into different political groups that were warring with one another, different warlords and factions, and it was a very, very difficult time to be alive in China. If you were poor, there were no social services available. There was no Social Security or Medicare or anything remotely like that. If you got lucky to receive the generosity of someone, then that's what it was. But there was no kind of organized public support for people who were poor. And if you didn't have money, you just didn't eat. And that's the way it was. If you didn't have money, then you didn't get a doctor either. Zhang Wasen's family was finding themselves in tremendous hardship. Neither the father nor the mother could find work. And they were homeless on the streets of Beijing. And it was a very, very desperate and dark time. After continuing to look, finally, the father got a job, the only thing that he'd been able to find in a long time, and this was becoming a laborer in Japan. Because of the hostility between Japan and China at that time, being a Chinese laborer in Japan was pretty low and pretty rough. He was not going to be able to bring his family along, so he left. He left them in Beijing and abandoned his wife and his two sons. Now, the mother was on the streets of Beijing with the two boys. I'm sure she was trying to find anything, do anything she could to survive. And eventually what she did was she actually sold Zhang Wasen's younger brother. So she sold him and she got a large bag of flour. Once the flour was gone, then they were back on the verge of starvation again. And at that point, she was able to find work as a cleaning maid, scrubbing the floors at a mansion. She could live there and she would be fed, but she was not allowed to bring her son Zhang. So rather than she herself starve to death, she abandoned Zhang on the streets of Beijing. So, and Zhang was very young at this time, perhaps 8 or 9. He was very, very young, and he was on the streets of Beijing. He was basically begging and starving and trying to stay alive. And an old woman saw him and took pity on him, took him to a Beijing opera troupe. Now, probably she did receive a little bit of a payment from the Beijing opera troupe, but if the boy was accepted, if Zhang was accepted to the Beijing opera troupe, he would have a roof, he would have food, and eventually he would have a career. And if he was good, he might have the opportunity of even becoming famous. So Zhang joined the Chinese opera as a young child. Now, normally, if a young child joined the Chinese opera, the parents were basically selling the opera to the boy. They would sign a piece of paper saying that if the child died during training, there would be no legal liability. Since Zhang's parents had abandoned him, there was no one to sign the paper, and there Zhang was. Now, the training in the Beijing opera was extremely severe. There was no joke about the kids might not survive because they were training them to be absolutely perfect at the skills that they wanted them to be. They trained the kids all day long, every single day. If they didn't do things perfectly, they were severely punished. Normally, if I talk about Zhang, I don't go into too much detail about some of the training that he had to endure. I will relate a couple of the stories so people have some sort of an idea about what he did actually endure during this period of his life. there's a stretch that we do, which we call the Phoenix stretch, and it's bending forward with your legs straight. Then you grab your foot and you pull your forehead down and you touch your forehead to your toe. Ideally, you're actually going to touch your chin to your toe or your chin to the ball of your foot for bonus points. So this is a phenomenally deep and long stretch. I've never actually been able to get it, and it wasn't for lack of trying. It's a tough stretch to get. So the way that they would train the boys to do this is they would have them stand against the wall, and they would shove Jong's leg up next to the wall until his toe was touching the wall and his foot was flat, pointed straight up towards the ceiling. And then they would stack bricks on top of his foot. And he said that they would stack up to 5 bricks on his foot. So he's standing against the wall, one foot's on the floor, heel against the wall, his back's against the wall. The other foot is up, straight up, with his toe over his shoulder touching the wall and his foot flat with 5 bricks stood up on top of it. So Jong would have to stand there for quite a while. I don't know how long it was, but it was, from our point of view, ridiculously long. And if he wavered, the bricks would fall and hit him in the head or land on him. And it couldn't have been nice getting hit on the head by 5 bricks. So he had to stand there and endure this. Another thing that he had to do was to stand in a very, very deep horse stance. Now, this is an old school, really hardcore way to do your horse stance. You see, on occasion, Jackie Chan does this in movies. But basically, you're down in a thigh parallel horse stance. What they would do is they would light a stick of incense right underneath your butt. Then if you went too low in your horse stance, you'd get burned by the incense someplace that really wouldn't feel good. That would make you stay at exactly the right height in the back part of your horse stance. And this is a much harder, if you go a little bit lower, it's a lot easier to stay just level or, oh, it's really tough. And then they would put sharpened bamboo skewers, if you can believe this, between his calves and the back of his thighs. So again, if he went too low in his horse at all, he would immediately be skewering his calf muscle in his thigh. And at the same time that he's doing all that, then he's got a bowl of hot water filled to the brim on top of his head. So he's got to stand here in horse stance. I think that he's got something in his hands, but he's holding his arms up. He has to stand there absolutely perfectly still in that position until the incense stick would burn down. And I mean, this could be a half hour, 45 minutes long, but it wasn't 5 minutes of incense. It was a long time. They were big incense sticks. So when you look at that man's foundation of his horse stance and his kicking and his stepping and his conditioning, it was absolutely off the charts. I've only really met 2 people that had such extraordinary conditioning, and those were my other really remarkable teachers, Wong Jackman and Liao Wanfu. They both also had a similar level of flexibility with their legs, a truly excellent level. I have a lot of great stories about Jong, and I won't be able to tell all of them in this podcast, but we will continue to come back to telling stories about Jong whenever we can. One of the things that I remember Jong really bragging to me about was, oh, when the actors and the martial artists fight, actors always win. Actors are way tougher than martial artists. That was his opinion. And the truth is most of the martial artists were not really subjected to that kind of severe training. They didn't sign a waiver. I mean, there's some really extraordinary martial artists, but it's funny that Jong would brag to me that the actors actually would win the fights between the actors and martial artists. Jong was an exceptional individual, and he rose through the ranks of Beijing opera to finally become one of the top performers in China. And he was very famous for playing the role of the Monkey King. The Monkey King is considered to be the most difficult role in the Chinese opera. The Monkey King has a climactic battle against the combined host of heaven and various gods and princes of heaven. It's a fabulous scene. And in it, for a moment, Jong fights all the other members of the opera troupe at once, and they're all around him in a circle in various costumes, and they throw spears at him. All of the spears, he deflects them by kicking them with his foot, and when he kicks them, Then he kicks them so they fly over him towards someone on the other side of the circle who is then throwing a spear at him and catches the one that was just kicked. He does this with everybody around him tossing spears, and it's an amazing piece of dexterity to be able to deflect all of those tossed spears with kicks and deflections of your foot. When I trained with Zhang Wasen in the 1990s, he was very round and chubby. Chubby like Santa Claus chubby with a very jiggly belly. You look at him and you really would have no clue what you were looking at. Plus, he was very smiling and jovial, and he was just one of these people who was pretty happy to be alive most of the time. Every time I was around him, he was very excited and engaged and sharing and just really enjoying life. But people who have actually come close to starving tend to be always chubby later. If they ever have a choice, their body is just going to grab calories. I mean, they're going to store it. They're going to keep it. So he was very, very chubby, and he would have a lot of jokes that he would make about food and eating food and chopsticks and your chopstick skill and various lessons like that. But I did get to see him demonstrate his kicking skills on a number of occasions. And there were times where he would lead the kicking drills for the class. And this was always, you know, time for everyone else to just be like severely embarrassed, because Zhang was obviously the oldest guy in the room, okay, to start out with, by usually a lot. Often he was double or triple the age of people in the room that he was leading, and he was easily the most flexible. And he'd go down the lines, and again, this is in his late 60s and early 70s when I was training with him, and he would kick and just like lightly touch the tip of his toe to his forehead, just go down the whole line of kicks, legs, both legs totally straight, boom, forehead, toe, toe, toe. And then he'd come back next line, and he would do what's called a slicing kick. And then he'd kick his opposite ear, the very top of it, very, very lightly. He would touch it with the tip of his big toe. And then he would do that left, right, left, right, left, right, all the way down the room. And everybody else is just looking in awe, knowing no one else could do that. One of the greatest compliments that I received as a martial artist was he told me my flexibility was adequate. And I was like, wow, my flexibility is adequate. God, what a compliment. I'm still happy about it. Listen, I'm telling you about it. Some of those guys are very sparse in anything resembling praise. You know, it's very the way it is. Soon I will be teaching some of the Bagua Zhong that I learned from Zhang Wasen in 1994 in Beijing, and in subsequent trips, and when he also visited my school in the San Francisco Bay Area. Zhang Wasen learned from Li Ziming, who learned him from Liang Zhenpu, who learned him from the founder of Bagua Zhong, Deng Haichuan. The main things that we're going to do first are the foundation exercises of Bagua Zhong. These are designed to develop the body mechanics, the body method of Bagua Zhong, developing both your health and also the subtle mechanics that you use to develop force in all of the martial arts techniques. This is a series of about 35 exercises that are done in a stationary position, or maybe shifting your weight and turning a little bit. The other part is a circle walking exercise that originally began as a Taoist meditation Qigong method, but was then combined with martial arts techniques. The circle walking exercises at the beginning are incredibly strengthening and invigorating. They can be done very slowly, and then gradually as you get better at them, then you'll be able to do them more quickly. So those are the first two things that we'll be teaching. The history of where those exercises come from is pretty interesting. The founder of Bagua Zhong, or Eight Diagrams Palm, ran a bodyguard company in Beijing. He didn't tend to hire or teach beginning martial artists at that point. He was looking for experts to join his bodyguard company, and then he could give them some more highly specialized techniques from his style to enhance what they already knew, and then have a real edge against other groups of martial artists or fighters. So he didn't really accept beginning students. What they would do is, if there was a caravan of goods that was going to go to a distant place and they were going to be trading, they would take along a small number of bodyguards to ensure the safety of the caravan. And if you're setting up for some distant place, perhaps you're going to Mongolia or something like that, the caravan would always take along a flock of sheep or something similar, and then they would have food along the way. If you're taking along a flock of sheep, that means you're definitely taking along a shepherd to keep track of them. So they're out far away from any good place to be with their caravan, and they were attacked by bandits. At this point, typically all the civilians in the caravan would completely run or hide or do their absolute best to disappear. Liang Zhenpu, the shepherd boy, wasn't that kind of a kid. When the bandits attacked, he, instead of running away, picked up rocks and started throwing them at the bandits. And this is the shepherd's skill. They throw rocks at the wolves and other predators that are trying to get near the sheep. And so they're really good at throwing rocks. And you can imagine that if you're in a duel fighting somebody and you get hit in the back of the head by a rock, you know, it could really affect the outcome of that fight. So the bandits chased him away. And as soon as they stopped chasing him, then he came back and started throwing more rocks. Now, after this big fight was done, the bodyguards were very impressed with Liang Zhenpu's fighting spirit. And when they got back to Beijing, they took him to their headmaster, Dong Haichuan, and said, "This kid's amazing. He's really brave. He's really got a fighting spirit. He didn't run away, and he did everything he could to help us. He should join our escort service. He should become one of the guards. Can you accept him? Will you train him?" Dong Haichuan didn't take beginners, and he didn't really have a plan for beginners, but he liked the kid, so he accepted him, and then created a series of exercises to build up this kid's body so he would be able to do martial arts. All the other people that Dong Haichuan had hired for his escort service, they had already studied martial arts for a long time. They didn't really need foundation training. They already had some power, some body method. So the exercises that Dong Haichuan created for this shepherd boy, Liang Zhenpu, were very unique. And that's the exercises that I learned from Zhang Wusan. We did them every single time that we practiced together. He said that he did them every single time he would practice. He would begin with the yin-yang acupoint slapping massage, and then we would do a whole series of arm swinging drills, rotations, all these different things going through every kind of rotation of your shoulders that you can possibly imagine. And these are so therapeutic for your shoulders and upper body. They just unwind any kind of tension. They're really incredible for relieving aches and pains and rehabilitating your shoulders and upper spine. And they teach you really how to use your entire body. So they're just a real treasure, and that will be the first part that we're going to release now. It probably won't be ready the first day that this podcast comes out. You're going to have to be a tiny bit patient, but we're going to get them out as quick as we can. We've shot them, but they have to be edited and uploaded. After we do those, then we can build a little bit further, but at the moment, that will be great for people to practice in limited space. I'm very excited about our new Kung Fu Animal Power program that we're working on. This will be a series of online programs featuring a combination of pre-recorded lessons by me and by Rachel, and some Zoom calls and some support. So we're putting together a wonderful program for all the kids that are stuck at home right now, where you'll be able to get a workout, keep your kung fu training going, and then also study all the lessons that go along with our workouts in the Animal Power program, including the virtues, our fables, the cultural lessons, including idioms and Chinese language, and all of that content we're going to present online in a series of weekly classes. To find out more, be sure you subscribe to our newsletter at 10,000victories.com/newsletter. Tell anyone you know who has kids who are stuck at home, probably all of them, about this class so they can get some workout at home and have a great time. Thank you for listening. Please be careful and take appropriate actions and plan what you need to do. And until our next podcast, keep moving, stay well, and be happy. Thank you for joining me and listening in. Please remember to subscribe and share. If you have questions, please send them to ask@ancientwisdommodernhealth.com.